The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the broadcast today. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We welcome everybody to the broadcast today. If this is your first time joining us, as always, we welcome you to the broadcast, and we would love to hear where you guys are joining us from. And if you are new, please let us know in the comment section below if you're able to comment either live here on Facebook or by Rumble or by YouTube. Before we get started, we want to encourage you to download our free app. If you've not yet done it, you can do it now if you're watching the rebroadcast of this, or if you're watching live whenever this segment is over. Right there in the comment section below, there is a place where it says download our free app. Just click on that link and it's going to take you to the Apple Store or the Android Store, depending on what device you have. You just click on that logo or click on that location. If you're listening by Apple or Spotify or Apple podcast today, again, go to your Play Store or your on Google or Apple and just type in End Time Headlines and get our free app to be notified of all of our headlines and our free podcast as well. So we've got a lineup for today. We got some interesting things going on that I believe fit into the category of Luke 21. So that's kind of going to be our little foundational scriptures of where we're going to kind of springboard from this. And then we're going to talk about some headlines, two in particular, two stories that came out. One is happening as we speak. Another one was a recent discovery. And I believe these are both very interesting, to say the least. So let's get out to this. Luke 21, I'm going to pull this up here on the screen so you can see this for those who are watching the visual of this. This is Luke 21, 11, and Luke 21, 25, and 26. Again, this is the Gospel of Luke 21, chapter 21. We're going to start at verse 11, and then we're going to hop down to verse 25 and 26. And here's what it says. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So again, fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Luke 21, 25 and 26. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars. Somebody say there'll be signs. Somebody say there'll be fearful sights. Somebody say there'll be great signs. And where are they? They'll be in the sun, the moon, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's really important right there. When we get to the latter part of this segment today, when we talk about the powers of heaven being shaken. This is an article. This is actually going on right now. Now, I want to give you a disclaimer. We have to warn this because I'm telling you, they're out there. But all of the flat earthers, if you follow our ministry and you're a flat earth or you do not believe in the existence of space, I'm telling you, today's segment is going to trigger you. So you may want to tap out. You may want to sign off today and probably not watch this segment because you will be triggered. If you're a flat earth or you don't believe in the existence of space, you do not want to catch this segment today. So I want to lay that out there. All right. This is from the New York Post. Many other affiliates have reported this as well. Barrage of solar storms to strike the earth tomorrow, triggering auroras amid warnings of tech chaos. And by the way, this was posted yesterday. So this is talking about today.
A storm is headed our way, and we're not talking about exactly what you may be thinking.
Yeah, there's potential severe weather is on the way, but also a geomagnetic storm that's expected to impact us tomorrow. Storm Team Meteorologist Rachel Dunzing has more.
A few days ago, space weather forecasters saw this eruption from the surface of the sun. It doesn't look all that impressive, but then something else happened.
So we had one eruption early on the 28th of March, and that was headed towards Earth. And now we've had a second eruption behind that one. And so these two are combined now and both heading towards Earth.
But before you freak out, Rob Steinberg, a space scientist at the Space Weather Prediction Center, says while this is a strong geomagnetic storm.
So on the 1 to 5 scale right now, we've got a forecast out for tomorrow of G3.
Most people won't notice impacts. These storms happen when the magnetic field of a solar flare interacts with Earth's magnetic field. It sounds complex and maybe a little concerning, but the storm isn't strong enough to cause infrastructure issues. However, if you rely on GPS or use radio communication, expect some disruptions.
We let airlines know, people who use high-frequency radios for communications, we let them know. So there's a variety of customers that we interact with to help them prepare for these occasions.
While a geomagnetic storm won't have an impact on your cell phone, as we rely on more technology, space weather affects us, even if we don't notice.
You know, space weather is becoming more impactful to society. And so NOAA and the Space Weather Prediction Center, you know, that's our role, is to be America's source for those watches, warnings, and alerts.
In addition to triggering auroras, G3 storms can disrupt satellites and technology on the Earth. So just a heads up, if you have shortwave radio, if you have your cell phones, transmissions of internet, signals to anything going in and out of your home, this all can be disrupted. These include intermediate problems with GPS, problems with high frequency radio signals, and power system bugs. It may sound ominous, but any issues caused by the storm will be minor. Now, we need to be thankful for that. Because they have been warning, guys, for years that it's not a matter of when, but or not a matter of if, but when we get a geomagnetic storm that is so powerful that we see major power disruptions and could even have a electromagnetic pulse bomb effect on the Earth. They've been warning about this for a long time. According to the report, data on these CMEs have been captured by NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory and solar and other observatories. U.S. astronomer Dr. Tony Phillips highlighted that the storms could lead to showings of the northern lights at unusually low altitudes. Writing on his website, spaceweather.com, which tracks the sun's activity, he noted that Americans should see them after nightfall on Wednesday night. That was last night. For Europeans, the hours before dawn on the 31st are favored. When chasing auroras, dark skies are essential. Go to the countryside, according to Phillips. So again, this has been ongoing. If you guys have been keeping up with this, you'll know that over the past month or so, the storm has just been, it has awakened. The sun, I don't know if I said the storm, I meant to say the sun. The sun has awakened and it is releasing these solar flares, these CMEs from the sun. So this is something that we need to be paying attention to. And again, going back to Luke 21, there will be signs in the sun. And there was another report that came out recently. I don't have, when we do the final cut on this, we'll probably insert this into this because this is live here. But there was, they've now discovered activity in the sun that has never been observed before. So they said this was very unusual and it was very mysterious. So what am I talking about? Signs in the sun. But now I want to move on. I want to show you something else that I think is very intriguing. Now, this was a report we did yesterday. So we're going to pull this up. The Hubble Space Telescope has recently spotted, according to multiple affiliates, has recently spotted the most distant single star that has ever been seen. at a record of, and I quote, distance of 28 billion light years. Now, I want to, there was a couple things that really I want to highlight to you about this report. Ready? Glimmering 28 billion light years away. And look at this. The star could be between 50 to 500 times more massive than our sun and millions of times brighter. Again, this is from CNN.com. Now, let me read this other piece right here. If the farthest detection of a, I'm sorry, quote, it is the farthest detection of a star yet from, and again, this is a quote, I don't necessarily agree with this timeline, so don't give me flack about it, from 900 million years ago after the Big Bang. Now, listen, we're believers. We're Christians. We're believers in the Bible. We don't believe in a Big Bang. The only Big Bang is when God spoke it and bang, it happened and it was big. Okay? So let's move on beyond that. You got to remember the sources of where this is written from and their mindset. But that's not what I want to focus on. Watch this. Astronomers, look at this, have nicknamed this star that has been discovered Earendale, which is derived from an old English word or words that means morning star or rising light.
Iconic Hubble Space Telescope making a major discovery. NASA has just announced it spotted the most distant star ever seen. Here's a look at the star that NASA is calling Earendale. The name translates to morning star in Old English, and old is Earendale. Apparently, it formed less than a billion years after the Big Bang. The newly discovered star knocking down the previous record holder for the farthest star. The light of that star, named Icarus, or Icarus, I should say, took 9 billion years to reach Earth. Earendale took nearly 13 billion years. The discovery comes as the rival James Webb Telescope captured this stunning first-of-its-kind image just of another star just weeks ago. Now scientists are trying to figure out just what this newest Hubble discovery could mean for the future of astronomy. NASA scientist Dr. Michelle Thaler now. Michelle, experts say this star is much further than the previous most distant star. How did this happen, and what does this discovery tell us?
Well, this was a wonderful coincidence of nature. There is a cluster of galaxies that's closer to us. It's only about 5 billion light years away. And I know that doesn't sound very close, but all of the mass of that cluster, many, many hundreds of galaxies, is actually warping space and time itself. This is something predicted by Albert Einstein 100 years ago. And all of that space, incredibly, is warping into a natural telescope. A telescope made of space and time, and way on the other side of the universe, just conveniently lined up. We think it's just a coincidence. We're looking back at a star whose light left 12.9 billion years to go to get to us today.
Man, that is incredible. The James Webb Telescope has been making major headlines lately. What does this discovery mean for the future of the Hubble?
Well, the Hubble telescope amazingly is going strong after nearly 32 years. And the Webb telescope, which launched in December, is going to follow on in Hubble's footsteps. Take this star, for example. Hubble found this star, but Webb can see it much, much better. We're going to be able to find out how hot the star is, how massive it is, what the chemistry of the star is, all by using the Webb telescope. So the two are working in conjunction very well right now.
It feels like this is a really extraordinary moment.
Oh, absolutely. The goals of the Webb telescope are to actually see back in time so far that we see the first generation of stars, the first galaxies form. And luckily for us, Hubble used this gravitational lens to pick up one very, very far away. And that bode wells for Webb. We know those stars are out there and we can really see stars that far back in time.
When you saw it, were folks at NASA like, I can't even believe this?
Well, at first, I have to say I was skeptical, as any good scientist should be. You sort of say, well, wait a minute, how do you know that's a star? How do you know it's not some big cluster of stars or even a galaxy? At that distance, we can barely see even entire galaxies. But then the data came in and it became more and more convincing. And I realized, wow, you know, there was a cosmic coincidence. And this star so far away was actually magnified thousands of times brighter than it should be because of a natural lensing of space and time itself.
Let me say that again. They have named this Earendel from the old English words meaning morning star or rising light. Now, if you're like me and you're first hearing this, or when you heard this article, when you read this piece, and when you caught wind of this discovery, and you read that and you heard that, if you know the Bible and you know the Word of God, you'll be interested to know. And immediately what will trigger your interest is, wait a minute, where have I heard that term before? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. So I figured I'd pull this up and show you where the term morning star or origin, the origin of it, the alpha of it, the genesis of it. We have to go back all the way to the book of Job, which scholars and theologians will agree that it's one of the oldest books written in the 66 books of the canon of scripture. When we go back to Job 38, 4 and 7, look what Job says. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or, look at this, who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Now look at this. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So here's your reference to morning stars. They were in the beginning. Sons of God, B'nai Elohim, that's the angels of God. So there's this reference to morning stars. But then we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And it says, how art thou have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Look what it calls him, son of the morning. Now, what's interesting about that, in the King James and some of the older translations, they translate this the morning star, or quote, Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou have been cut down to the ground, which thou did weaken the nations. Now, this is intriguing, but this is not where we want to hang our hat yet. I want to go back to the, let me go back to the story. This is what's being called the farthest detection of a star that has ever been recorded. As again, a study detailing the findings were published recently in the Journal of Nature. The observation breaks the record set by Hubble back in 2018 when it observed a star that existed when the universe was around 4 billion years old. Earendel is so distant that the starlight has taken 12.9 billion years to reach us. And again, do what you want with the dates and the time frame or whatever the case would be. That's really not where I'm focused on today. But the name of this thing that they've given is interesting to me. This observation of Earendel could help astronomers to investigate the early years of the universe. Wow. Let me say that again. The observation of Earendel could help astronomers to investigate the early years of the universe. Isn't it ironic that you go to the book of Job and it mentions the morning stars in the creation of the sun, moon, and stars and the earth, and where the sons of God or the B'nai Elohim, the angels, were with God himself. That to me is intriguing. You know who else was there? Lucifer. Lucifer was there. We're going to talk about Lucifer in just a second, how he plays in this. Quote, as we peer into the cosmos, we also look back in time. So the extreme high resolution observations allow us to understand the building blocks of some of the very first galaxies, according to a study co-author who has done a postdoctoral research at the Cosmic Dawn Center in Copenhagen in a statement. Quote, when the light that we seen from Earendel was emitted, the universe was less than a, quote, billion years old. quote, only 6% of its current age. At that time, it was 4 billion light years away from the proto-Milky Way. But during the almost 13 billion years it took the light to reach us, the universe has expanded so that it is now a staggering 28 billion light years away. The stars we see in the night sky all exist in our Milky Way galaxy. Incredibly. Now, again, the flat earthers don't believe that. They believe it's all CGI. That when we look up in the night sky and what you look up in space and you see the stars and the planets, they don't believe any of that exists. They don't believe in space. They don't believe in the stars. They don't believe in the planet. It's all CGI. That's why I said this is going to be triggering to a lot of them. And we will get the comments on YouTube, Facebook, and wherever else this is circulated. So, but let me go back to this. Somebody say morning star. Look at this. Revelation 5. Oh, well, no, that's not it. Hold on. Here we go. 2 Peter 1:18-20. 2 Peter 1:18-20. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him, talking about the Lord on the holy mountain. This is talking about Christ. They were with Christ and they heard a voice from heaven. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the quote morning star rises in your hearts. That's 2 Peter 1:18-20. Then we go to Revelation 22:16. And now this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now stop. People are going to hear this and they're going to read this and say, well, is this not a contradiction in the word? Because the Bible references Lucifer to the morning star, but it also references Yeshua or Christ to the morning star. Well, on a surface level, when you hear that, it almost sounds like it's contradictive. But let me dig a little bit deeper. As you know, if you guys know me well enough, you know that I'm going to do that. This is not the first time this has happened. Look at this. If you go to Revelation 5:5 and 1 Peter 5:8, you're going to see this right here play out as well. Look at this. But one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Somebody talk to me today. Who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David? It's Jesus. It's Yeshua. Yes. But then look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. So look at this. This is why I purposely put these together. When you read Revelation 5:5, it's referencing the Lion of the tribe of Judah in reference to Jesus. But then we see a reference to Satan as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So you see these references. So here's what I find intriguing. When we go, notice that in Revelation 22:16, when Jesus is speaking of himself, he does not call himself the morning star. Y'all see that? He said, I am the bright and morning star. This is what I'm trying to tell you today. We've got a little bit more I want to share with you today. But listen, Satan has always got a counterfeit. Let me say that again. Satan will always have a counterfeit. He will mimic the Lord. Example, we talked about this last night at my local church where I do every Wednesday night, we do a study on end times or eschatology. And we got into what I'm about to share with you right now. We talked about this for about 15 minutes about this. But here's something very interesting is when you get into the Word of God and you see this right here, where Jesus is saying that there is, yes, he's acknowledging that there is the morning star, but he says, I am the bright and morning star. And what am I telling you? That Satan has a counterfeit. You will discover that when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he ministered in the flesh for 42 months. From age 30, by the way, was the average age of the priesthood. From age 30, he was crucified at 33 and a half years of age. So the Lord, the Father gave him 42 months to preach the good news or the gospel on earth. Then, okay, he's crucified, he's buried, he's raised from the dead, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But watch this. Then we fast forward, we go over into Thessalonians, and you discover that Paul tells us that when the Antichrist comes into power, that he will also be given 42 months. He will be given 42 months that he will set up his headquarters and set up his throne in Jerusalem, in the third temple that is yet to be built. And there he sets up his headquarters and he declares himself as God for 42 months. Now, isn't that interesting that there was a authentic, there was the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but then there is the counterfeit, which again is the Antichrist empowered by Satan, same time frame of ministering, same time frame of operating in what they're going to operate in. And Satan is going to get for 42 months, he's going to get what he always wanted from the beginning, and that is to be worshiped as a quote unquote God or as God, little g. Read it, it's in Thessalonians. So here you have in the beginning, when the sons of God, Bnei Elohim, and the morning stars sang together, but then Lucifer was referenced to as the morning star. But then Jesus said, look, I am the bright and morning star. I will outshine any thing that Satan tries to be. Yes, he was special in heaven. The Bible says you can go to read the book of Isaiah, you can read the book of Ezekiel, and there's descriptions of Lucifer, and the Bible gives there's these elaborate descriptions of him. It talks about his breastplate, of all these stones that were on his breastplate. It talks about how he walked about the mountain of God. He was with God. He sang with the morning stars. He was there with the other angels. The Bible says that he had instruments of praise that was built into him. Some scholars even speculate and believe that Lucifer was the leading worshiper in heaven, that he led worship. He led the praises of the angels of God, praising the Lord in heaven. Again, these are theories based on many scholars and many theologians that has read this and studied this. But watch this. But here's what I think is also intriguing. Then we go down here to Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 9. For you guys that are listening, that's Revelation 12, 1 through 9. This is John the Revelator speaking. Listen what he says. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. See, we're still right there in the same thread of Luke 21. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then, verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world or the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now I want to give you a quick synopsis of this. This passage, number one, has been argued extensively on either representing the church or the nation of Israel here in the beginning of this. I believe the most accurate interpretation is that it is Israel giving birth to the Messiah who would rule the nations with a rod of iron. The seven heads are believed to be seven major empires that have directly impacted the nation of Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem. And these nations are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Media-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. And then according to John, there will come a seventh empire. Daniel saw it as well. There will be a seventh empire that will rise, and it will last a short time or a short space or 42 months. And then will come the eighth and final empire that will be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist. All of these empires will be influenced and empowered by Satan or the great red dragon and chief prince spirits. Again, you can find those are mentioned in the book of Daniel. Revelation talks about them. But we see here, look at this. Let me pull this back up. One of these events is past tense. One of them is future tense. When Satan drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, this is when Satan was expelled from heaven. And the Bible says he took a third of the angels with him. And Satan described it as, "I saw lightning fall from heaven." And this was when Lucifer was expelled from the third heaven, God's throne. But then we get down here, all the way down here to verse 7. And this is a future event where there will be a war breakout in heaven. Hello, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And in this war, Michael the archangel, by the way, who is the guardian of Israel, will fight Satan or Lucifer and his angels that have revolted with him, and they will be cast out of the second heaven, and they will be cast to the earth. And that, my friend, is very significant, because then Satan will no longer have access to be able to accuse the brethren. Remember, go to the book of Job, and it tells you that Satan went before the throne room of God with the sons of God, and he began to accuse Job. And this is why Revelation calls Satan the accuser of the brethren, because he goes before the throne room, and he accuses you and I. Come on, he tries to bring up sin. He tries to bring up our past. He accuses the brethren night and day. But what does the Bible say? They overcome him by the word of they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. So there's coming a time, don't miss this, that Satan will be cast out completely from this access. With these angels, the Bible says he will be cast to the earth, and the word of God says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down with great wrath. So to me, this is intriguing. To me, this is very intriguing when I read an article like this, that they have spotted this star, and that's what they're calling it. But again, if it truly is that far away, can they really tell you that it's a star? Do they know that for absolute? So whatever this thing is, it's so bright. And I quote, let me pull up the article here again. It is, and I quote, it is 50 to 500 times more massive than our sun and a million times brighter. So whatever this object is that they're calling a star is this bright. And of all the names that they could have named this thing, they named it Morning Star. Wow. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about great and fearful signs and sights from heaven. And I believe this is only the beginning, and I believe we're going to see a whole lot more of this stuff as we get closer and closer to the coming of, come on, the bright and morning star, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Root of Jesse. Come on, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about, this is exciting times for the watchmen, for the sons of Issachar that are watching and observing and paying attention to the times and seasons in which we're in. So I wanted to share that with you guys today. Again, endtimeheadlines.org. It wasn't going to be a long podcast today, but to me, this is intriguing. So if you know people that you find that you know that would be interested in stuff like this, share this with them. Invite them in. Let them see this. I think they'll be blessed by these kind of messages. I think this stuff is cool. And it's very intriguing, to say the least. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can see that right there on your screen. Again, download the free app, available on Google, available on Apple. Get all of our headlines. Get all of our podcasts to watch, to listen, or to do both at your leisure. That's how you do it. And that's where it is available. But as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if you've not prayed about becoming a monthly partner or supporter of our ministry, again, all of our messages are free, the podcasts are free, the subscription base is free, everything is free. All we ask is, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, exhortation, and equipping, that you pray about becoming a monthly partner. Again, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you just pray about that, and you do according what the Lord lays on your heart. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or right there on your screen. If you're watching this, you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. That is our physical mailing address. So as always, guys, we thank you for taking the time and coming on here today and watching these segments. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your partnership and your support of our ministry as always. So we're going to sign off for today, guys, and we will be back on here tomorrow to close out the week. But until then, as always, we pray that the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may his countenance be upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.